Welcome to the Fabric Podcast and our exploration of purposes and preferences. In this episode, Melissa Locke brings up an important facet of the conversation, shortcuts. Our preferences seem to push us toward them. So how do we cultivate a long-haul mindset so we're not suckered into taking short-sighted shortcuts? Here's Melissa.
Welcome, live streamers, podcast listeners. We've been talking about purposes and preferences so far. We've had a couple weeks on this, and when Greg started us off in the conversation, he named that our preferences, the things we like, they tend toward the short-term and the short-sighted. Which does bring to mind Tuesday's election day. It's easy to kind of dismiss politics, right? It's full of lots of short-term, short-sighted ads and billboards. Yet, part of what it means to be Fabric is to participate in how we are together. So I want to add today another short to the list of shorts, and that's shortcut. Shortcut, easy to define, a quicker, easier way to get to an end result. So this morning I was going around, and yesterday I heard some too. I was collecting some fabricisms that people like. So here's some of them. Better questions. Care IQ. Practice when it's easy. We are fabric. We don't go to fabric. Whimsify. What are my M&Ms? People are so people-y. What's my role? Not looking for answers, looking for the better questions. All right, thanks. Those are some of them. Those fabricisms are examples of these quick, easy shortcuts to some really pretty deep ideas that come in handy when you need it in a moment, right? I'm in a heated argument with someone I care about. We're stuck in a no-win situation. You can see it spiraling down, and you pause, and you think, oh, wait, what's the better question? And it kind of saves you sometimes, right? That's what these shortcuts can be. I mean, I love a good shortcut. There is a news flash, though. These quicker and easier things, they are the things we prefer, right? That's the first news flash. And the second one is quicker and easier aren't always better. I had some help giving us a picture of this from Dustin and Nick. Thank you, guys. So I want to show you some of these examples. So, podcasters, this is a picture of some people getting ready to run a marathon. They're all set. They got their bib numbers. And someone's whispering to the guy next to him, psst, I know a shortcut. And this is my favorite. So, who doesn't like a good shortcut through the city park? But this isn't just any park. It's the Violent Monkey Park. Whoa, whoa, lady, take the long way home. What could go wrong with this? There's a guy on top of a tall pole, and I don't know how he's standing, but he's got one leg out, and maybe like one leg on this ladder where there's this other guy standing up holding onto the pole, and the ladder is in a front loader. What could go wrong? Oh, what could go wrong with this one? It's another ladder guy doing some maybe electrical work up above his head, looking up, and the ladder is in a swimming pool. Yeah. Okay, who doesn't like a shortcut for mowing their lawn? Why buy a riding lawnmower when you can just sit on the front of a four-wheeler and have someone drive you while you push your push mower? Yeah, what could go wrong with that? All right, thank you, Dustin and Nick, for helping us see some of the ways our shortcuts can not go the way we maybe wanted them to. One of the less obvious, and I'd argue most consequential places that we use and settle for shortcuts is in our significant relationships. So what am I talking about when I say significant relationships? These are core to fabric, and that's because they're core to being human. These are relationships where you have people with whom you can share what matters, people with whom you can give and receive care, people with whom you can build trust. Trust is something that we have to continually practice and earn and check in with each other about. And finally, we need people who expect us to grow. I want people around me that love me just the way I am And as Anne Lamott says, too much to let me just stay that way forever, right? I want people around me that believe that the things I'm struggling with can be healed, that there's growth possible, that there are things I haven't thought of yet or done yet, places I haven't been. So that's what we're talking about here, significant relationships. And this purposes and preference conversation really helps us with this part of our lives, because I think that it is a great example of a long-haul commitment. Preferences tend to look for shortcuts, and purposes, these things behind our preferences, these things that we want to ground in so that our preferences are reflecting what we actually want and need and how things are, those purposes are long-haul commitments. So long-haul is, for me, actually a fabricism. In 2018, we had a series called Long Haul, and that phrase, even though we didn't make it up, we just used it in ways that have become really helpful for me, and I think a lot of people. So here's how we define long haul then. Long haul is a way of living that keeps drawing you back to look towards something bigger than your problems, and greater than your appetites. So that's a definition to wrestle with a little bit. Talk to someone, talk to your group this week. What does that mean? Something bigger than my problems, greater than my appetites. And why would that matter? I want to land on that word appetites. I think it's could be called preferences, right? Maybe it's even longings. What do you long for? What do you want? I think that's kind of a question under all of this that is such a good one to keep asking. What are you actually seeking? One of the things we long for is meaning, purpose, and belonging. So you can see that. We want to stay in that green circle and avoid the red one, right? We want to stay out of pain, avoiding pain. Very good human instinct. It has kept us alive for a long time, right? Like, it's totally normal. Humans will do almost anything to avoid pain. Our longings, our purposes, our preferences, our appetites, they are not good or bad. They're human. They just are. The challenge here, and the very human challenge, is that there are times, and maybe a lot of them, where these two circles are overlapped. There are times where we can't bypass pain. We can't avoid pain without losing something very precious to us. If you want to avoid the pain of ever having to let someone you love go, don't fall in love. Don't get a pet, right? Don't invest in that friendship. And don't have babies, like that cute one right there. Don't do it. I'm not gonna go there. You can't avoid pain and have significant relationships for more than 1 minute, maybe. Maybe that's why these kind of relationships are so precious, and maybe that's why they're so rare. I want them to be less rare in the world. I think that could make a huge difference. That's why I'm here at Fabric, is so that these kind of relationships where we can share, care, trust, and grow become less rare. Imagine a world where people belonged like that. So, Fabric at our best. What does this all have to do with how we are Fabric together and what we do as a community? I want to propose something today. I hope it'll become a new Fabricism, maybe. I can only hope. That Fabric at our best is a long-haul shortcut. A long-haul shortcut to significant relationships. To keep it that way, to keep it a long-haul shortcut, we have to stay grounded in our purposes. Believe me, we love a good shortcut for setup and teardown, right? There have been a lot of innovations and improvements that have made getting this space to be more welcoming a lot easier and more fun for the setup and teardown crews. There are some of us who were here when we started, and you would not believe the work we did. It was crazy. We would unload bricks every week and then load them back in to make this well. And anyway, it was ambitious. We were in it. But we found some shortcuts that were still grounded. You know, they were grounded in who we want to be. It would be easier to have a building, right? No, it wouldn't. I'm convinced. We'd have a lot to pay for. Plus, the way that people get to engage, this easy way of helping out every week, of being fabric, of getting a taste for what this is all about, of meeting other people, of schlepping boxes, making coffee, writing on the chalkboard, helping with the kids, like that is all stuff that we need to be fabric. So no, I don't think a building would be a great shortcut for us. Those things that are easier, more pleasant, and comfortable aren't always bad in and of themselves, but they're also not always part of the path of life woven deeply. Yesterday at my table at the workshop, someone was sharing how being part of Fabric has opened up the Bible for him in a new way, and he described it as being opened up as this big story of human struggle. Like, not of answers, but people wrestling, people struggling and asking the better questions and being really honest about who they were while they did it. I mean, talk about poor campaign managers, right? I mean, the people who wanted to start the movement of Jesus, like, wrote about themselves in the most unflattering ways. So it's these stories of struggle of real human beings. And one of the really big ones is the story of the Exodus of the Hebrew people when they were leaving Egypt, where they were treated brutally, and escaping into liberation, into a new land where they were free. And this story has inspired so much of our culture. At least one Disney movie and one Broadway musical that I can think of, and you can probably start seeing, like, boy, there are stories about Joseph and Moses, and this, the words and the language of it are embedded in a lot of our culture. But the relevant question today is, why did God have the Israelites travel for 40 years together when it really could have just taken 2 weeks? Why would they do? Why? Why is that part of the story? I think they needed to go the long way because it wasn't about getting somewhere. It was about becoming people together, becoming a people together, weaving life deeply. We're here because we're becoming a people together. We're being alive, becoming anything that's alive. Is becoming something. It's changing. Maybe it even means some uncomfortable change. So that's why we're here. What is this? Let's talk more. What does this look like? What does this mean to be a long haul shortcut? All right. So the main thing I've hinted at already is that shortcuts grounded in long haul purposes don't seek to bypass pain. They also don't seek pain, let's be clear about that. And they don't seek to prolong pain, to cause pain or suffering, but they don't need to ignore it, to minimize it, or to avoid it. So let's take a real life example. In our family unit, sometimes we need to divide and conquer, right? It's a good shortcut to getting all the things done. Getting all the places, doing all the stuff. Sometimes you have to stay late at work so that you can get that promotion that will help your family. Sometimes you need to stay pretty busy with the kids, helping them get involved in something new. But these kind of shortcuts in themselves, they're not good or bad. It's where they're coming from, right? And the ungrounded preference of, like, divide and conquer can become sometimes a way to kind of avoid pain, right? Like, you want to stay late at work in order to not go home and have to deal with that really complicated parenting situation that's going on, or get into that same argument that you've been getting into every day. So where these shortcuts are coming from, we need to think about that. And if we're trying to bypass pain, that's a clue to us, because these kind of long-haul shortcuts don't try to bypass pain. But they try to transform it. They do transform it because they create this different space, a space for healing, a space for growing, a space for changing, a space for living. And we call that, another fabricism, is a growth zone. So you have your danger zone, that place where it's just hard to venture into, and you have your comfort zone, that thing you know, you're already comfortable with it. the work habits, the, you know, whatever those habits are that you've built up. And sometimes we just need to squeeze in, like open up a little crack between them so that there's space, right? Space to breathe, space to take a pause and not be too far out of our comfort zone or too far into our danger zone, but find some space in there. To make a growth zone is hard. It's not automatic. As real human beings, you know, maybe some people can just go, whoop, oh yeah, growth zone, I'm there. But I think we're people who need tools, right? We need tools, and then there's the energy and capacity we need to grow, and there's the containers that we need. Those are the three categories I think we need. So let's talk about the tools first. We need perspectives, people, and practices. Those are three things that can do that, can open up that space for us. For example, like I was remembering our pause button tattoos that we got earlier in June. And you know, maybe we get into this tough moment and we remember, I'm gonna take a breath, I'm gonna pause, and I'm gonna think. Oh yeah, in my group, I know someone who does this gratitude practice. Maybe I should just, I don't know what else to do, so I'm just gonna think, okay, what am I thankful for? Oh yeah, that person who thanked me for something today, that felt really good. Maybe I'll try sending a text before I go home to tell my partner how much I appreciate them. Maybe things will go better then when I get home. It's this little step, these small pauses, these things that can make a difference. So that's just an example of how this can work. And that gives us space and hope, which I think gives us energy and capacity that we didn't have before. And that energy and capacity comes from our connection, our three-stranded connection. So not just us by ourselves, but those people that we're learning with, that we're wrestling with. And this bigger strand that we're part of, God's strand, this integrity of what is in the world, that deepest part of the fabric that we're all a part of. When we plug into that, I think there's a new kind of capacity that becomes possible, a new energy that we can't tap into on our own. All right, so we've got tools, we've got energy and capacity. We need containers. We need particular places, like a locus for this change to happen. You know, things don't happen magically. We have to put things in our calendar if we want to build a relationship. We have to put things in our budget to match our values. So containers, we talk about three bowls. Those are our containers for practicing our long-haul shortcuts here. So the big bowl is fabric gathered. This is what we're doing here. This is a good way to think about this is a place where I am inspired, where you are inspired. You see these other people around here, and you see, oh, I'm not in this alone. That, every week when I walk in this room, it breathes some life into me, which is a way to think about that inspiration, right? Just to see, like, oh my gosh, there are other people who still have this crazy idea that it matters, that this world matters enough to, like, take it seriously, that I matter enough to be able to contribute, that these big questions matter, that there might be some big hope out there that we can tap into. So we are inspired here when we're together in this room. We share music, we sing together, things we just can't do, this feeling we get that we can't get on our own. We also start these shared conversations. We gain that shared language that those fabricisms represent. And our world gets bigger because of it. We're not stuck in the old questions that we used to ask about who's right and who's wrong. We're looking, we're getting language and frames that help us expand our way of seeing areas of our lives that were stuck before, areas of the world that have felt stuck. In college, I had a philosophy of language class, and I still remember the name of this one philosopher, Ludwig Wittgenstein, that I loved his work. And one of the quotes from him is, "The limits of my language mean the limits of my world." And I would say of all the places in the world, my world, that I've received language that expands my world, it's been through you, through this community. So thank you. So So can we do that for each other? Can we help each other keep taking those deep dives with these handles that we get on Sundays and these bigger gatherings and wake up to these other questions that we need to be looking at, that we need to be asking, so that we can actually make some progress with them? We get these handles and we get unstuck and we keep each other moving. All right, so if we're not getting stuck, that means, like, I want to jump to the small bowl. That means that something about me is changing. And that's why we're here, because we want this to matter. Like, you're all busy enough, I'm busy enough. I wouldn't come here if I didn't want it to change me somehow. So that is the small bowl. That is where you practice. And practice as in get better at stuff, like try things and mess up and keep trying again practice, as well as put it into practice. Like, you are the one that puts this into practice in your life. You're the only one who can do that. You're the only one that sets your schedule, that makes your choices, that decides where to put your body every day, where to spend your money every day. So those are the things, like, only you can do them. And I bet, like me, you want to live more aligned. You want those ways that you show up to align with what you really care about, maybe with what you're learning. We can all be better, right? Which brings to mind another fabricism: what's better than better? It's a good question. Because I think when we hear these words about growing and becoming, and Israelites were becoming better people, and we're here about growth, I think too often we're programmed by the world to think that that always means more. Put on more layers, put on more ideas, get better habits, get a better, bigger resume, do more, show up more. I don't think that is always true. I think the fabric is about this better than better. It doesn't always mean more. And it doesn't ask you to change who you are. It's where you can be who you are. And often, I think being who you are is a lot more about the layers you shed than the things you add. You are an alive and growing creature. We're a part of a world full of them. And if you look around, you see it all the time, right? So in my backyard, our maple tree finally dropped all its leaves. In our front yard, the catalpa tree that started just as a stick, it's changing. It's becoming an adolescent catalpa tree, but it has these giant leaves, and for the first time, they all fell this year. And for the first summer, the tree gave us shade in our front yard. And now, you know, it just continues to grow and change and affect the world around it. And so what if we are that same kind of alive and growing thing, letting go of our leaves when the time is right? It doesn't have to be right now. In due time, we're shedding the layers, the armor that protected us once, like a birch tree or a cicada. It's growing too big for its skin. It's changing into something new. It has to shed. It's not that that was bad. It just doesn't fit anymore. And this happens at a pace that fits who you are, that fits the fabric and what is. It doesn't have to be rushed. It doesn't have to be forced. So I think this is why we need that middle bowl, though, because I don't know if it's hard for a cicada to do all that shedding. but for me, for you, for us, it's hard to let go of those old skins on our own. Often, it isn't until you feel seen for who you really are and still loved and valued anyway that you can even be brave enough to look at those skins, that you can even realize the truth of how ungenerously you treat yourself. It opens new space. It opens new space for growth, the same as the leaves falling on the ground. They go into that dirt. They leave room on the tree. There's room for growth. There's room for healing. This is why we need the middle bowl. You need long-haul relationships with people who are also practicing that kind of living, who understand the seasons of life and the pace that we are all on. These are people you don't have to lie to in order to belong. You don't have to lie to them about yourself. They don't have to lie about themselves or about others in order to belong. These people assume, these are people with whom you assume the dignity and the worth and the value that's inherent in every one of us already. We don't need to improve in order to be worthy, in order to have dignity. And these are people especially, I think, who don't expect you or themselves to have it all figured out. They expect to grow, and they expect you to grow. They are growing too, and they know that it takes practice. It takes regular, ongoing, one day at a time kind of practice. And they're a space where you can practice. Practice when it's easy, right? These are people that you can mess up with. You can talk about it. It's on the table. We need that middle bowl. And at Fabric, we do that through groups. This is where you integrate. Picture Fabric right now. Where do you picture yourself? Is it here, maybe? A lot of us, I think, picture this. Sunday gatherings. I'm going to tell my friends to come on Sunday, right? Despite not having a building, you know, this is understandably what we picture. But in so many ways, I think this middle bowl is where Fabric really happens. This is where we get that energy and that capacity that we need, that perspective, the people, the practice. This is where I hear the stories of others, and they help me hear my own story. I feel less alone. I gain some perspective. I gain some courage to be honest with myself because I see other people doing it and surviving. This is the space of what we often talk about, of friendly and mutual accountability. It's power with to change. It's not anybody being the expert or knowing it all. So Greg has said this many times, and I think we are still learning to believe him, and that is this. If you can only do one thing with Fabric, if you only have time for one thing, be in a group. Don't be on the board, don't come on Sunday, don't volunteer out and be in a group. Share, care, trust, grow. Even when it's a little painful. Even when it's a little painful. Or a lot. Made a video a while ago now about the best thing about groups being significant relationships, right? It's where you share and you care and you build trust and you grow. Woo, that sounds so great. And then the worst thing about groups, significant relationships. It's where you have to share stuff. And then people need things, and you have to care for them, and you have to tell them what you need and actually ask for help. And then, like, you have to dare to trust people, and you hardly even know them yet, but you practice it anyway. And they expect you to grow. They actually expect you to, like, go somewhere with these conversations and take risks with them. This brings up another favorite Fabricism of mine, coined by Dan Miller, wherever you are, and it's this. When he said it, it was, damn you, Jacob's Well. But now it's, damn you, Fabric. So groups are different for everyone. Each time you meet is going to be different. A lot of times, you will love it. If you haven't tried a group, a lot of times you'll love it. Eventually, maybe not right away. You might have to try a few groups. If you haven't tried one yet, just know that's part of it. You certainly won't love it all the time. Every time you gather, it's the clouds do not part. There aren't always sunshine and rainbows. Let's face it, groups, and even what we're doing here, it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird. And that's exactly why we do it. That's exactly why we need this. It's countercultural to carve out space where you can be real, where you can admit that you don't have it all figured out, that you don't have it all together, and then talk about it openly and honestly. And then see those same people again. They have not given up on you. They are still here for the long haul. I can tell you, I have worked hard and long to try to make it less weird. A lot of people have. We've tried so many different versions of group guides and ground rules and wording and agreements, and all that matters. We need to take down as many barriers as possible to this. I prefer personally for everyone to really like feel comfortable all the time and to please everyone all the time and that no one ever feels like wonky or weird. But that's not a long-haul shortcut. It's not why I'm here. It's not why you're here. Sometimes it is hard and weird or uncomfortable to be here at Fabric, to be in a group. It's also really uncomfortable to be pregnant. It's also really uncomfortable to grow up and go through puberty. It's also, it's uncomfortable sometimes. But what makes groups work is not how easy or comfortable they are. It's you showing up for the long haul to share, care, trust, and grow. Even when it's painful, you keep coming back. Okay, so the question occurs to me, and probably will to many of us over time, can't I get this in an easier way? Seriously, I listen to podcasts. I have friends. I have a good family, right? I have a great pile of books. I even talk about them with people at my book club. I know those are good things. They might serve this purpose for you. Frankly, none of us has more time to add one more thing. COVID reminded a lot of people that we're moving too fast. We don't need to add. Again, more is not always better. We need to make choices. We need to say no. We need to prioritize. We need to focus on what matters most. But my question for you is, given these eyes of long haul, how are you going to get that vision? Where is that going to come from? Do you have time not to do this? When we make choices about where to show up that align with our purpose, it's not the kind of investment of time that creates just more stuff. It's the kind that creates space. It creates healing. It creates clarity. It creates capacity, resilience, strength. Things you did not imagine that you even needed, perhaps, or were possible. If you want to meet your human needs for those things, you can wait and hope that some significant relationships magically appear in your life. And if you have them, you can hope that they stay healthy and that they even grow and expand. But how will you put that hope into action? What are the containers you will use? What are the tools that will help you? That's why we're here. We can do that together. We can be that long-haul shortcut. It isn't about getting somewhere. It's about how we are traveling and who we are becoming together. And I think this can be really hard to believe that it's possible or that it's worth it. And I want to normalize that. And a thing that has helped me think about this is this particular reading from this book from Al-Anon. And it's a reader that I spend time with pretty much every day. And it's part of the recovery movement, so you've probably heard of 12 steps. Many of you are probably very familiar with them. And the second step is what this one is about. So I'm just going to read it to you. And I think it won't be hard for you to draw the lines to what we're talking about. Step 2 states that we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Recently at a meeting, I heard someone paraphrase this step in a way that perfectly described my own experience. First I came, then I came to, then I came to believe. The journey toward a higher power has been so gradual for me that I have been unaware of much of it. There has been no burst of light, no burning bush, just a gradual clearing of the fog that I lived in before finding recovery in Al-Anon. Like my fellow member, first I came, bringing my body, if not my faith, to Al-Anon. Then, once I was here, slowly, I came to. Eventually, I came to believe that I wasn't alone in the universe. There was and is a force, a drive, an energy that can give me the means to make my life joyous and productive. I need only to ask for assistance and keep an open mind. The arrival of faith and sanity in my life has been a gradual process. This process continues and grows stronger each day. I keep myself open to it. Perhaps acknowledging this process will help me when I'm impatient with the twists and turns of life. Perhaps they'll help us stay in it for the long haul, right? When it gets a little painful. Thank you. All right, so I don't want you to take my word for this. I really don't. And don't do it for me. Don't do it for Fabric. Try it for yourself.
Thanks for listening. We hope this podcast sparks conversation in other parts of your life. If you're looking for meaningful connections, there's a Fabric group for you to try, whether you're in the Twin Cities or not. Tag @FabricMPLS with your wanderings on social media and find resources on our website, fabricmpls.com.